Chapter 2. Peculiar Changes. A rundown castle, said an exhausted Juniper. Yikes, I think I recognise it.
We are back in Gleesphere, by the castle, Jew said excitedly, and she shivered.
I was the warrior pussycat in that adventure,
Ludwig remembered. Look at those icy turrets, exclaimed a cold-nosed River.
He sang, icy turrets like a spire, don't fall down on me. For a while,
as misty droplets of watery air poured out of his mouth. Ludwig walloped his tail in time with the song, also in the hope that his tail's blue tip might change back to jet black.
It is snowy. Let's get inside as quickly and quietly as we can, said a super cold Juniper.
It looks and feels very different from last time, said Jew. I don't think Hugo Sogo is here anymore.
And all of them, on tippy toes, cautiously pitter-patted across the massive drawbridge. Although Ludwig did have a hard time balancing on four paws.
Nothing about tippy-toeing in the Pinnacle Performance Handbook for Pussycats, he complained to himself.
Together, they slowly pushed open the great big wooden door. It groaned quietly. Inside, everything look dusty. This way, beckoned Juniper, and they headed towards the twinkling light, which was in the fine banquet room. In front of them was a roaring log fire, burning brightly, and they rushed up to warm themselves. Slowly, as they got warmer and warmer, the icy blue colour disappeared, and they started to feel happy and excited again about their adventures. Jew had been exploring the banquet room.
Look, a dress-up box, she exclaimed in delight.
Everyone rushed up to the box, and with lots of laughter and great excitement, they began trying on the winter clothes that were in the box. Juniper, River and Ludwig grabbed anything that looked warm, but Jew was spending a bit more time trying on all the different outfits. Eventually, she decided upon keeping her pink tutu, but put on royal blue tights and a matching royal blue jacket with a woolly white collar. She loved it. Further down into the dress-up box, she found some lilac ballet shoes.
Oh, I think these are pretty special, she said,
practicing her curtsy and pretending she had them on. Just then, they heard a loud snore and jumped around.
There, in the big wing chair, by the side of the fire, was sat a very old man.
He emitted another snore, then stretched out his arms and legs and said in a friendly fashion,
Hello, my young friends. Oh, it's delightful to meet you.
Juniper ran forward. Oh, sorry, sir. We didn't see you sleeping there. We were just so cold and wanted to get into warm winter clothes.
Well, you have now, and don't you all look smart?
The old man smiled.
Come over, everyone, and sit by the fire. It is a jolly cold night.
River and Ludwig joined Juniper and sat at the old man's feet in front of the fire. Jew put the lilac ballet shoes in the pocket of her tutu and decided to perform a grand jeté to reach her friends by the fire.
Now, my name is Mr. Beekeeper, said the old man, and I am the custodian of the bumblebees in Gleesphere. Slowly, slowly, my bumblebees' natural homes, the wildflower meadows and woodlands, are disappearing.
And he sighed. Can we help you, Mr. Beekeeper? Asked a concerned Juniper.
There is not enough water to keep all the wildflower meadows and woodlands alive.
And Mr. Beekeeper sighed again. Mr. Beekeeper looked at them carefully, his yellow and black eyes twinkling away, and his fuzzy eyebrows twitching.
Yes,
Yes, you can. I know who you are. The What If Kids. You saved our city of Gleeway from the evil Hugo Sogo many years ago, said Mr. Beekeeper, as a bumblebee buzzed around him. Juniper, Jew, River and Ludwig felt so proud of their past good deeds that they puffed up with pride. But what do you mean? All those years ago, said a bewildered Juniper. It was only last school holidays, interrupted River.
Time is different here, my children, said Mr. Beekeeper, and I think you should call me BK for short.
BK stood up and stoked the fire, so a little burst of flame sprang up. The bumblebee kept buzzing loudly.
Oh, excuse my manners, said BK. This is Bombini, the bee of all bees.
Bombini buzzed, hello, and the kids tried to buzz hello back, but it sounded rather silly. But Bombini thought they were polite children, and her wings flapped very fast indeed.
Gather round this fire, young ones, and look right into it. It has magical properties and perhaps can tell us something about the future, and maybe what we need to do to help save the bumblebees' homes, said BK as he prodded the fire with a poker stick.
The flames started crackling and popping like a series of little explosions. The kids were mesmerized, and slowly, ever so slowly, images appeared in the flames.
I think that looks like me and Ludwig, said an astonished Juniper.
In the flames, a boy and a cat with fiery wooden sticks were battling a great monster. Bumblebees were swarming around them, making a buzzing noise.
Wonder what happened to our laser swords, purred an alarmed Ludwig.
Just as Juniper was about to reply, the scene switched to a young girl and a boy who looked somewhat like Dew and River. They were running frantically inside a great big spaceship, and a lilac ballet shoe was crying out. Both Dew and River tried to pick it up as a monster went to attack them, and as quickly as the images appeared, they vanished, and the fire went back to crackling happily away in the fine banquet room.
Wow, said Juniper. What was all that about?
The fire hints as to what might happen in your adventures, but it never tells all the truth, said a serious BK. It is a type of prophecy, my young friends.
Changing the subject, River piped up, Why did the pussycat jump out of the snowball's way? All replied, So he wouldn't be knocked out cold. And they started to laugh and think longingly about their week's summer holiday at Dad's.
A joker in our midst, chuckled BK, wiping his glasses. But we must think what we can do to save Gleesphere's beautiful wildflower meadows and woodlands.
Juniper was about to respond when River changed the subject again, as he suddenly remembered an important detail.
Hey, I left my drumsticks at the avalanche site. I want to go back and get them, he said. Will you come with me, Ludwig? The avalanche noise has stopped now, and the sun is peeping through. It does not look half as scary as last night.
Meow, meow, purred a pleased Ludwig,
as he was always one for getting out and about. So, off they trekked together. It was a beautiful day, and the sun was shining down on the snowy ground, which crackled under their feet. It was like a winter's wonderland.
Snowy ground,
belted out River. Lola, lola, lay, he sang. Ludwig joined in with the meows, and they strolled along happily together towards the avalanche site. Juniper and Dew decided to go ice skating on the frozen castle moat, and BK looked on with amusement at their attempts to stay upright.
About 6 p.m. that night, Juniper, Jew and BK realised that River and Ludwig had not come back to the castle. They were worried and decided to immediately set out on a rescue mission. It was getting dark, so they used their laser swords to melt the snow and find the pathway, and BK used his yellow and black eyes to help light the way. Bombini buzzed around his head. Meanwhile, River and Ludwig had been having a great time, throwing snowballs at each other and singing lots of songs. Ludwig even tried to teach River some weight-bearing exercises with the ice, but it kept slipping out of her paws. And they laughed uproariously at their antics. They were having such a good time, they did not notice, until it was too late, 100 elongated icy soldiers surround them. They had elongated purple hands emblazoned onto their ice tunics.
Grab those travellers!
The 100 elongated icy soldiers screamed together.
Oh no!
Hissed Ludwig. River stood open-mouthed, and before they could get out their laser swords, they were lifted high into the air and bundled on top of the icy army, who marched them swiftly towards a big cave on the side of the ice hill. The ice hill appeared not to have changed regardless of the avalanche.
Peculiar, growled Ludwig.
In they were shoved. River's ankles and Ludwig's front paws were tied up, and they felt scared. They were dumped unceremoniously onto the floor, and they looked round to see thousands of elongated icy soldiers, picks and shovels in hand, chipping away at the ice. They chanted in unison, chop, chop, block, block, down comes the ice for us to stock. It sounded horrible.
Wonder what they mean,
whispered River. River and Ludwig were by now very frightened. And if that chanting wasn't loud enough, a nasty voice boomed out.
The two prisoners, get a pick and start chipping away.
Ludwig peeked up and he saw the most horrible monster, almost purple in colour. It looked like a three-headed beast with a great big open mouth sneering down at them. They immediately got to work.
Oh, very scary. Very, very scary.
Be quiet, or you will know all about it.
They were very, very, very quiet. It started to get colder and colder, and after a couple of hours, River and Ludwig were exhausted and freezing. They sat side by side, trying to keep each other warm. They whispered to each other, then furtively turned their backs on the icy soldiers so nobody could see them. They used the edge of Ludwig's small yellow laser sword that was still attached to his collar and quickly sliced through the ropes on their ankles and paws. Then Ludwig winked at River and whispered under his breath,
I have a plan. Meow, meow-wah, meow-wah-wah. Do you understand, River?
River nodded. Meanwhile, Juniper, Jew, BK and Bombini crept noiselessly up to the avalanche site.
Shh, listen, said Jew.
I can hear hammering,
said Juniper.
This way,
buzzed Bombini, and she led the travellers carefully up the side of the ice-covered hill.
Strange that the ice hill is still here after the avalanche, said a worried BK.
There was a big cave on the side of the ice hill, and they peered in and listened. Clang, bang, wallop went all the picks, and the chanting was thunderous. The horrible monster, almost purple in colour, called out loudly for everyone to keep chipping away.
I need the water from the ice, he yelled. I want the water from the ice, he screamed. The water from the ice is for our master, he shrieked.
Just then, Ludwig winked at River, and River drew his bent blue laser sword out of his pocket. It was a signal for them to attack the purple monster. Ludwig slashed with his tail. He scratched with his claws. He butted with his head. He leapt, twisted, rolled into a ball, claws out. River attacked as well. He swiped this way and that and kept the icy, elongated hands that looked like swords at bay.
Screech!
Moaned the purple monster as he started to go lumpy and boils appeared all over it.
It's purple haze from our last adventure, and it's still allergic to cats,
trilled an overexcited Ludwig, and he got out his small laser sword and gave purple haze a good poke. River also took his chance and thrust his laser sword into the boils.
You're done for, he said, and pus spluttered out everywhere.
We're winning, River and Ludwig yelled.
We're coming to help, yelled back Juniper, Jew, BK and Bombini as they tumbled down into the icy cave.
Juniper jiu-jitsued with his arms, legs and blazing green laser sword. Jew pirouetted with a pink laser sword and pink tutu, cutting through the icy soldiers. BK and Bombini both saw that the purple haze was beckoning its thousands of icy soldiers. And as some of them started to melt, the purple haze got larger and larger, with more boils and pus dropping out from it. Bombini hummed to BK.
I think the ice soldiers are becoming part of the purple haze, and that is why it is getting larger and larger.
The enormous purple haze leaned right over them all, and it got darker and darker until it was like midnight. It smelt awful.
Ha ha, tricked you. That avalanche was a pretend one, and I can do it again right now,
jeered the purple haze.
Get out! Get out as fast as you can, said a distressed BK. Take Bombini for safekeeping.
And he gently handed his bumblebee over to Jew, who just as gently slid Bombini into her tutu pocket beside the lilac ballet shoes. What they did not notice was that a tiny weeny droplet of purple haze had fallen onto Bombini's wing. And with a loud, frightened, "What if?" from Juniper, they tumbled back into the Illawarra flame tree, and their winter clothes disappeared. They heard Dad laughing.
"Hey, kidlets, what adventures you all having up there?"
"Well, Dad, we had such an exciting time," said Juniper, as he jumped out of the tree and rushed to the trampoline.
Dee, said River to his stepdad. "It was the best."
And he noticed his drumsticks were tucked into his shorts. Ludwig rolled onto his back and rubbed himself around Dad's legs. He got a lovely belly scratch. Jew, who had been looking in her pink tutu pocket, saw that Bombini had her eyes shut tight and was breathing heavily.
"Oh, Dad,"
she said as she snuggled into his arms.
"How do you save a bumblebee?"
Bombini let out a big breath and her wings stopped fluttering. A large tear slowly dropped from Jew's eyes, and she gave a little sob.